Good day, and welcome to the Marine Harvest Management Q3 earnings conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Kim Døsvig. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good afternoon to everyone. My name is Kim Døsvig. I'm the IRO and Head of Treasury in Marine Harvest. Today, we'll go through the third quarter earnings numbers we just released this morning, and then we'll have a Q&A session towards the end of the call. So starting on page three, highlights. Q3 was a very good quarter for Marine Harvest. We reported a record high operational EBIT of 194 million euro in the quarter, on the back of high salmon prices in all markets due to a strong demand. The cost decrease was pleasing to see in Norway, Chile, and Canada. The performance improvements continued in the consumer products, and the board announced a quarterly dividend of 3.4 per share in the quarter. So page four, key financials. Operational revenue increased by 2% year-over-year. Operational EBIT increased 8%. However, harvest volumes declined by 2%, down to 95,000 tons. Net interest-bearing debt of 664 is below our net debt long-term target of 1.05 billion. The underlying EPS in the quarter of 0.29 was above the net cash flow per share of only 0.12, and this is due to a seasonal buildup of biomass in sea. So it's related to more biomass, in particular in our Norwegian operations, because in Q3 we tend to build volumes in sea. Return on capital employed was good at 28.8%, and adjusted equity ratio of  54.3%. So our balance sheet is very strong. Operational EBIT for the group of about 2 euro per kilo. Page five and salmon prices. We see that compared to the past year, salmon prices in the quarter was at high levels. They declined by about 6% year-over-year in Norway in the quarter, but still at high levels. And the same goes in the Canadian market and also for the Chilean market. Page six, price achievement. Price achievement was above 100%. That's 107% in Norway. And this is supported by improved contract contributions. We have harvesting volumes on contracts, and the price level on those contracts were slightly above the spot price in the quarter. In addition, the profit contributions from the other sales and consumer products business areas is also allocated to the countries. Hence, the price achievement was good in Norway. The same in Scotland was significantly improved by good contract prices. In Canada, we sell everything in the spot market, hence price achievement is close to 100%. And in Chile, we have some contracts, hence the contract price achievement was 109%. Page seven, operational EBIT comparison. As you see, there's not any major changes year-over-year. Slightly reduced feed earnings in the quarter. Farming contributions was better on the back of higher prices. Slightly reduced volumes, as I mentioned, and cost is fairly stable year-over-year. Markets is more or less the same, and the consumer products business area contributed with better operational performance across many of our factories in Europe. Hence, their result was better. And then going into the various business areas, just to give you some of the highlights in the quarter by business area, starting on page 8 with Norway, an operational EBIT of 124 million in the quarter. So good earnings supported by the higher prices and in particular country prices. Slightly reduced volumes compared to guidance due to continued sea lice and biological issues in general. And we see that the 16 generation has been a troublesome generation for Marine Harvest with reduced harvesting volumes and also elevated cost level. But we do see that on the 17 generation, which we have stocked in the spring and in the fall, we will start to harvest on that generation in Q2 next year. And that generation, it looks much better compared to the 16 generation, both in terms of relative growth, so the size of the fish is bigger, and also the mortality is lower than the 16th generation. Page 9, our contract portfolio. We contracted about 21,000 tons in the quarter. Q4 is typically the quarter where we contract the most salmon. And 2017 is no exception, so we expect the contract volumes to go above 25,000 tons and then slightly reduced in Q1 at more or less the same prices as achieved in Q3. Then I will skip page 10 and go into the Scottish business area. The Scottish operations delivered improved results year over year. Operational EBIT increased from 6 million to 25 million. Volumes were up and costs, biological costs, were down year over year. But bear in mind that Q3 16 was a poor quarter for Scotland. So quite easy year over year comparison figures. In the fourth quarter, we expect costs to increase slightly as we are harvesting from some poorer sites compared to Q3 17. Canada on page 12. The Canadian operation delivered 19 million in operational EBIT. As you see on the waterfall chart, the price deviation is negative, and some of the cost elements have also been negative year over year. Hence, cost is up, but still, the business area delivered a good set of results, decent profits, as we write. The Canadian operation also had a troublesome Q3 in relation to weather. They had a very warm weather with connected biological challenges, plankton issues as an example, and also sea lice challenges. But Canada, despite that, Canada continues to be a good area to farm salmon. Moving on to page 13, Chile. Year over year, Chile had a good development apart from a negative price development. You see all the bars are contributing to improved results. The better cost performance year over year is evidenced by the full cost in box of US$4.5, which is significantly down year over year. However, costs are expected to increase somewhat going into the fourth quarter. And then Ireland and Faroes on page 14. Ireland, again, had a very good quarter, similar to Q2, an operational EBIT per kilo of 3.23, which is very, very good. Ireland produces and sells organic salmon, which achieves a significant price premium compared to traditional Atlantic salmon. So organic salmon is a niche product, but a very profitable operation for us. In the fourth quarter, however, we expect the cost to increase. In the Faroes, we finally started harvesting in September, and volumes are quite low, but profits are very good for Faroe salmon. And then going into consumer products on page 15, operational revenues increased year over year due to higher prices. But you see that volume sold is down from 32,000 tons to 28,500 tons. But the operational improvement processes across many of our factories in Europe is good. So both the Moore Pool in Poland, Rosyth in Scotland, and Peters, as an example, in Belgium, they delivered good results, or decent results. So an operational EBIT margin of 2.8%. And we see that the value of salmon sold continues to rise across all key markets. Despite the volume reduction, the price effect more than offsets the volume change year over year. So page 16 on feed, the Norwegian operation delivered a good set of results. Q3 is high season for feed production and feed sales, so it's in line with our expectations. We have seen that the raw material prices for the various feed ingredients have declined recently. So lower raw material costs, however, the feed price has also been reduced, which the farming operation is benefiting from. But feed is still able to deliver above 7% EBIT margin, which is good. And then in Scotland, the feed construction process is on schedule. And we are on track to finish the feed plant in the second half of 2018. Hence, our farming operations will start to source feed internally from the second half 18 onwards, which is very interesting. And then moving on to the financial market section, I've been through the key numbers on the P&L and balance sheet, so I will skip those. No changes in the cash flow guidance for the year on 21, and no changes to the financial overview on page 22. I'll go into the supply developments on page 23. Relative to our guiding last quarter, supply ended up very close to what we forecast. So all the main markets, Norway, Chile, Scotland, and Canada, were in line with guidance. And the global market supply increase was as expected of about 9% year over year. Prices on page 24 we have talked about, and moving on to page 25, global volume by market. We see that most of the arrows apart from Japan is green, is positive, so the market consumption increases year over year, which naturally follows the increased harvesting as well year over year. And if we convert the volume figures to value figures, we see that the markets are consuming more salmon as well, ab- above the actual consumption growth figures. In the European Union, as an example, we see that the market is up approximately by 5% in value terms year over year. So the key markets continue to grow. In the U.S., the U.S. increased by 11% year over year as they have access to more Chilean salmon, and also the imports of large-sized European Atlantic salmon continues. And the 18% growth in Asia is impressive, and they continue to source salmon from all key markets. And then the industry supply growth outlook on page 26. No major changes to our 2017 guidance of 4 to 6% for the global market. 2018, we expect growth to be higher as the biomass in sea is currently higher. So the range is plus minus 7% for the global market. But then we've also referenced Kontali's 2019 expectations of 3%. So quite modest growth if you go beyond 2018. Marine harvest volume guidance on page 27. We reduced the guidance for this year by 8,000 tons in the quarter, and this is mainly caused by Norway. The reduced volumes in Norway of 7,000 tons is driven with the biological challenges in relation to the 16G that I mentioned. Volume guidance for 2018 of 410 means that we expect to see a partial recovery of volumes in Norway. So we hope and expect to increase our volumes significantly in that part of our farming footprint. Scotland will be slightly reduced due to a change in the stocking pattern. Canada will continue to increase. Chile should also continue to increase post the algal bloom in 2016. And Ireland and Faroes in the other units are more or less stable. So just to sum it up on page 28, the outlook slide, we have a strong financial position. We have a low net debt and a high equity ratio. So good financial position. We have a focus on organic growth across our business, both in feed with a new feed plant in Scotland, across our farming operations, and also in consumer products. We're opening up expanding some of our factories in Europe, and also opening up new factories or bigger factories in the U.S. And also in Asia. And we see a strong demand and modest supply growth going forward. And as I mentioned, the quarterly dividend of NOK 3.4 was announced this morning. So that concludes the highlights of the presentation. So then, operator, please open up for any questions that there might be.
Thank you. Today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press *1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you are using a speakerphone, please turn your speaker function off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that's *1 if you have a question over the phone at this time. And please, our first question comes from Gianmarco Anuncia with Equita.
Yes, good afternoon, Kim. A couple of questions. The first one is about the preliminary indication you put in the presentation for 2019 global supply growth from Kontali, about 3%. I am a little bit surprised to see this low number, considering that we should expect the new capacity from the R&D licenses. So can you give maybe an update based on the latest information, what could be reasonable to expect from these new licenses in 2019, if any, new capacity from this. And the other one, on the working capital, I heard this morning that the management said you should expect an increase in the debt because you are building clearly biomass for next year. But actually, this year, 2017, the supply is going down, and the working capital is quite high, I guess, because you are already building the biomass. So for next year, rough indication for working capital could be, let's say, ballpark the level of this year, should be lower, should be higher. Thank you.
Okay. Hello, Gianmarco. Thanks for the questions. So I think in terms of the... If we look on the biomass figures today, the biomass in Norway is about 8% higher year over year, and that explains the 2018 growth forecast by of 5 to 9%. If you go beyond 2018 into 2019. We don't know exactly, how many fish has been put into the sea for 2019 harvest yet. But you mentioned the R&D licenses. I guess, those shouldn't, the development licenses shouldn't contribute in any significant way to growth for Norway in 2019, as very few projects have been accepted or granted at this point in time. But the traffic light signal system was implemented, in fact, yesterday, and I think consensus is for about half of the 6% capacity adjustment, so about 3% growth over the next 2 years. But this will be an increase already, today. So the MAB is lifted today. Hence, much of that 3% should already be harvested in 2018. Of course, some of it may be into 2019, and I think that's the reason why the global supply estimate is only 3% in 2019. And I think also if you look outside of Norway, of course Scotland and Canada are growing slightly, but also in Chile, I think that with the new stricter regulations, with the lower stockings we have seen recently, the new regulations are starting to take effect, hence slightly reduced the growth from Chile ahead of us. And then to your question about working capital, of course, working capital is difficult to forecast because it depends how much biomass we're able to grow. But we have kept our guidance unchanged. Hence, we expect to grow working capital, both in C, but I guess more so in fact from the consumer products division in Q4. You know, in Q4 we sell a lot of salmon through our consumer products division, but we typically get paid in Q1. Hence, we have working capital build up in Q4. But 2018 guidance on working capital, that's too early to give at this point. We'll give cash flow guidance next quarter for the year. So I think we'll just revert to that next quarter.
Okay. Just a very quick follow-up. Right now, it would be fair to say that the biomass in Norway, say global for the market, stands roughly 10% below the MAB?
Well, I think if you go back a few months, that would have been the case. But I know that the growth has been good, feed sales have been good, and the biomass has increased month over month for several months now. So
okay. Less than that.
That gap has been closed somewhat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any more questions, operator?
Our next question comes from James Law with HSBC Global Asset Management.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for taking my questions. I have two questions. First of all, on the supply side, just from your comments a few moments ago, it seems like regulations currently is the main barrier towards supply growing faster rather than biological issues. Can I just confirm if that's true, or if you could elaborate on that? And the second question I have is, I was wondering if you have any sense whether because of problems in Chile in 2016 and the high prices last year, whether your current share, Marine Harvest share of sort of global profit pool for salmon, do you think that's probably a bit higher than it should be? Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for the questions, James. So on the supply side, I think you're absolutely right. It's constrained by regulations, but regulations is driven by biology, so the two are definitely interlinked. You know, today in Norway, growth is linked to sea. You know, sea lice is the indicator used to control growth. So if sea lice, you know, i.e. if biology improved, the regulator would allow for more growth. But you're right, both in Norway and Chile. But also in Scotland and Canada, it's a very regulated market. So regulations are key to follow in our industry. In Chile, I think the prices that we saw towards the end of last year and into 2017 were very high because of both of the algae bloom in Chile and the lost volumes. But also the production issues the industry had in Norway, so less volumes were available in the market. In 2016, in fact, experienced a negative supply growth year over year, which we haven't seen for many years. So I think as the markets are normalizing in the sense that they are harvesting and producing more salmon, of course, it has an effect on price.
Yes, could I just ask a quick follow-up?
Sure.
So everything you said makes sense, just developing on that. In terms of how much supply growth the market can absorb, what's your view of how quickly the supply can grow each year without having a very negative impact on price?
Yeah, so demand growth has typically been around 6 to 7, sometimes 8% per year in our sector. So as there's very little inventory of salmon, it's a fresh market. You know, what is harvested is consumed. So if supply has been below you know, those numbers, prices have typically increased.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just as a reminder, please press star 1 if you have a question at this time. Our next question comes from Charles Carl Johannesson with Pareto.
Hi, Kim. Just a very short, specific question. Is there a reason why such a big portion of the EBIT per kilo in Faroe is entitled to marine harvest markets?
Hello, Carl. That's a good question. No, this is related to the way that they allocate profits within the various you know, sales and farming. I think it's above where it should be, but I think it's a reflection of the low volumes we have harvested in the quarter of only 1,000 tons. But I wouldn't read too much into the split between farming and markets. An EBIT of 2.25 is still a good number for the Faroe operation.
Okay, thanks.
It appears we have no other questions in the queue at this time.
Okay. Then I would like to thank everyone, and this concludes the Q3 earnings conference call. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
That does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation.